Welcome to the Two Moms and a Mic podcast. We are Briggs and Dodson, two seasoned moms with a collective of eight kids and an abundance of chaos. We bust ass, fail often, and love fiercely. We're queens with broken crowns. Our intention is to create a community for moms and parents surviving the modern suburban world of raising teenagers. We also intend to drink. Join us for our raw episodes as we navigate stages of midlife while parenting multiple children and thriving with teenagers. Actually, they're trying to kill us. Raise your glasses and tune in. Cheers! Okay, good morning, Dodson.
Morning, Briggs. How are you?
I am hanging in there.
Yeah.
We're gimps today.
It's a gimp Wednesday.
Gimps and grannies.
I am driving like a granny.
And I look like a granny with my slippers and sweatpants.
The slippers and sweats are good. You know, if you call the sweats joggers, it makes you feel sexier.
Well, then, these are sweats.
Yes, they're sweats and slippers. Let's talk about your outfit, though, for a little bit.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I love your Breakfast Club shirt, and your hair looks good, and the brows are so on point.
Oh, well, thank you.
So I have to give a little props, because I had to drive my ass home and blow dry really fast. It's fucking cold already.
I know. And when you go outside in Chicago now, in the fall and morning, if you go out with a wet head, you come home with, like, icicles on your hair.
It's bad. You've got your cool t-shirt, and your, what is this situation? What's this granny situation around your waist? Are we going to talk about that?
We can. No holds barred.
No, let it out there.
I am dressed like this in these really old Breakfast Club t-shirt, some joggers, my granny slippers.
See, you did call them joggers. You add a pair of heels and you're good to go.
True. I'm not walking in heels
anytime
soon. Even
with that thing around your waist. What are we calling it?
I have this band around my waist because just not even a week ago, I had my second hernia surgery, which, you know, I thought I was recovering pretty well from. And then yesterday, I ended up doing too much around the house, too much lifting. And I'm not supposed to be lifting anything over 10 pounds, I believe.
You can seriously already lift 10 pounds, because I was going to say don't lift more than a glass of water, Briggs.
No, I'm not supposed to be lifting anything over 10 pounds.
Okay, that's pretty generous. And you thought that meant it was okay to carry a rug and, like, drag a rug across your house?
It's what I do. It's like I have a problem. I mean, I was asking my son to help me carry some shelves up to my room. You know, we just moved recently, so we're still getting our house together.
You're going to pop that hernia.
I sure as hell am. I might have.
What outfit were you going to wear for hernia surgery number three?
So I have this band around my waist because I did too much yesterday and I woke up this morning like in a huge amount of pain. I had to sleep with a heating pad on like a granny.
Take any of those narcotics? You need a trammy granny?
I'm off of the narcotics. I'm not sure I would do a narcotic and then do this show. That would be funny. It would be scary.
Well, you have the serious ones. What did you get? What's it called? Narco?
No, I didn't.
Is that an actual thing or is that just generic for narcotics? When people say narco, what is that?
Norco.
Norco.
That's a narcotic. It's a painkiller.
Oh, that's an actual one.
Yeah.
Okay.
They gave me oxycodone, so Vicodin.
Oh God, I've never taken that and I would barf and pass out.
It's good stuff. So, I mean, if you're in pain where you can't, you know, when your core is compromised,
everything stops.
You don't even realize how much you use your core muscles. And I don't mean like to work out. I mean to sneeze, breathe, laugh, cough. I mean, you name it, just to walk. And if you do too much, which I usually do, because that's who I am and that's what I do. I'm not one to sit around. I know, but not sit around.
Don't compromise the core.
Well, yesterday I didn't realize that our rug for our dining room is going to be delivered yesterday. So they deliver it and they set it in the middle of my hallway.
And you couldn't just leave it there because of your compromise?
I was like, really? And then I was getting excited to see it because I ordered it so long ago that I forgot what it looked like. So I started unpacking it and unrolling it.
No. Cutting the tape off and bending over and everything.
Cutting the tape off. Everything, yes. And man, they package those things up good.
Yeah, those are meant to thrown on trucks and get rained on. And
20 layers of
plastic.
I'm like, so yeah, I was doing all of that. And that was, you know what? That was stupid.
Oops.
But so here I am with this ugly band holding my abdomen in place to relieve some of the pain and pressure. Because I actually started to get swollen.
Oh, God. What's the recovery supposed to be if you don't do the wrong thing?
My doctor told me that if I wanted to go walk a mile the next day after surgery, that I could.
What?
I'm assuming most people won't do that. But
right.
But he said, you know, if you just want to walk around your neighborhood, you know, slowly for a mile, you can.
A mile is ambitious.
I'm not going to do that.
No. I mean, you're supposed to not just lie around. You're supposed to, after surgery, move and come back to life. But a mile,
yes.
That's crazy.
They want your blood to be circulating. They
right.
don't want you to be
right.
laying around. They don't want the risk of a blood clot.
Did you have to wear those things on your leg, on your legs during surgery? Like the compression things that squeeze your legs so you don't die of a blood clot?
Yes.
Did you? Did
and
you get to bring them home?
No.
Oh, damn.
The only thing they sent me home with was the core band.
Oh,
which is this ugly thing that I'm wearing right now.
Let me see it.
Oh, God.
Is it like what you wear after you have a... Wow, that's huge. Does it go all the way around?
Yeah.
It looks like it'd be comfortable, though. Yes?
I mean...
Does it make you feel better and, like,
no,
secure?
It makes me feel more secure. It makes me feel like, you know, even if my dog were to bump into me or... if I bump into a chair or something, it's
yeah.
excruciating pain.
Okay. Well,
so it's protecting
on.
From that.
Body
so.
Armor.
That's what it is. It's my armor today. So.
Good. Keep it on.
Yeah. This is my second hernia surgery. It's not the most fun thing.
Surgery is awful. Wait, did you have to do that breathing thing too, where you have to show that you can like intake air?
No.
And the lung capacity?
They did not do that.
Oh, okay. Because I think that's one of the things with walking around too, just to like make sure you don't get weird lungs or something.
Oh, no, they didn't have to do that to me. Did they have to do that to you?
I had to. Yeah, you're going to make me talk about my surgery.
I'm not going to make you talk about it.
I'll talk about it.
You know,
because I've already told, I'm not keeping it a secret that I updated my boobs and got a pair of freshies in there.
Perfect. You know what? And that's the thing. We both have this to talk about. We both had a surgery last week.
It was surgery week.
It was surgery week for Briggs and Dotson.
Yep.
Yes.
One out of necessity and one out of vanity, to be totally honest.
There's no judgment there.
There is judgment there.
There is.
Don't lie. People are going to fully judge the fuck out of the fact that I got boobs. They're going to.
They will, but I'm talking about you and I sitting here right now. I was
oh,
just
we're
speaking.
Not going to judge each other.
No, no, no.
I mean,
I was
going to tell you you're a bad person for overdoing it.
Well,
but I'm not going to judge that you fixed. What kind of an asshole would I be if I judged your medically how do you say that?
Medically
necessary.
Yeah.
Surgery.
No, I'm talking about me judging you
oh,
for getting boobs.
Go for it.
So that's, I was saying just between you and I sitting here, that's not going to happen.
Oh.
But
well,
but
thank
for those
you.
Listening and for other people that you may have told,
yeah.
you'd be like, oh, great.
Oh,
lovely boobs. And then
be-
turn around and be like, why?
Well, there will be judgment in general about all things plastic surgery or probably even all things moms that are not technically plastic surgery, right?
I believe that we live in a world where we are fighting off judgment left and right, nonstop, every day. And it's a battle.
It's a battle even if you are doing what you personally think is totally like following the mom code and on the up and up. It's still a battle. Because moms are judgy.
Oh, can
as
you,
a population, we're kind of bad to each other and,
right.
and ruthless.
Do you feel like they've brought more awareness to judgment in the recent years? Because I feel like we're in this movement of kindness and acceptance and worry about yourself.
Sort of.
And you know, I feel
you
like,
do you. You.
Yes.
I think that it's talked about more and that that's where people want to be. But then you should see that unleashing the second a mom like fucks up. Like, remember when that lady did her kid run away and like jump in the gorilla pit or something a few years ago? And the whole mom world lost their collective shit and
yes.
blaming that mom?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
That was harsh.
I actually remember that going completely viral on social
insane.
Media. And I remember actually, did I make a comment about it?
You and I both posted saying, this could have been us because of the kids that we have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this
I
absolutely
feel so bad for that mom, because that could have easily been Frank jumping in there.
Oh, my Aiden. Bye, Aiden.
Bye.
He's best friends with the gorilla.
Yep. You live with them now.
Yep.
Y'all have fun down there posturing. Remember they said the gorilla was like posturing, which is that primate behavior of like getting ready to be violent or remember? It was
yeah.
very threatening.
I do remember, but I'm trying to remember the actual story. The kid
I don't remember the actual story. I just remember the moms had a field day ripping her a new one.
Yes.
For whatever she did wrong. I don't know. Was she on her phone or whatever? It doesn't matter because we do everything wrong all day long.
Could you imagine if that happened to you? That could happen to anybody.
No, that's partly why I felt compassion for the woman, because I was like, oh my God, that could be, you know what? Screw the mom that's like, well, not me, because I would have, whatever, been paying attention and had a babysitter with me and had my kid leash or whatever.
I know.
That's an illusion that you can control what happens to you.
Yes.
You can't.
You can't. If you step out of your own judgment and put yourself in the other mother's position, do you think she wanted that to happen?
Good question. I mean, of course not.
I mean, think about that. Do you think that she wanted that to happen?
My kid, of course not. No. Who could ever imagine in a million years a kid falling into a zoo pit?
Right. I want to be on the news. I want to be on the local Chicago news tonight. I want to be that mom that goes viral on social media and have everybody rip apart my parenting skills when this was a half a second of my life where my toddler did something impulsive.
There's a thing with that, when you said that mom, that's a real thing, right? We say, oh, there's that mom. Oh, there's, see, so mine's so predictable, right? Oh, there's that mom. She turned 45. She breastfed all of those gypsy children all those years. Oh, look, she got her boobs up. Though nobody would know I got them done because they're such a lovely, nice little pair.
There is no chance in hell that I would look at you if I did not know you and say, wow, look at her fake tits.
No.
Not in a million years.
A nice pair, and they don't look, I did not get porn star boobs.
No, you did not.
I got a nice little pair to fit me.
Yep. And you're a teeny tiny person, so you did not need these big jugs.
No, I don't want them. You know what? I want to still wear all of my clothes. I love my clothes.
Yes.
I just wanted something that was there.
You mean you didn't want to be concave after breastfeeding four children back to back to back?
I know. I nursed them two at a time sometimes.
I know.
No, I deserve these boobies.
You sure do.
And I didn't hide it from anybody.
Good.
My daughters know. It was funny because I told them, I'm like, oh, I'm fixing my boobs, whatever. Here I go to my surgery to fix my boobs. And then later that day, my teenager's like, so what exactly is going on there? What'd you have done? So before I could answer, she's like, wait, did you get implants? I'm like, I did. Yeah.
So
here they are.
Was she researching? Like, was she Googling on
so,
her phone,
well,
maybe?
Because she's all like little Miss Panic all the time.
Sure.
So she loves to Google worst scenarios. So today, so I can finally drive a short distance. If it still feels like there's like 900 pounds on my chest when I drive.
Can you wear a seatbelt? Like comfortably?
The seatbelt's fine. It's driving is like all chest, I realize.
See, and you don't know that until
it's
compromised.
So talk about the granny vibes. Like I turn the wheel by the bottom and I do it like little bit. It takes me forever to turn because it hurts.
Oh yeah. You can't do that huge like radius.
No.
Yeah. No.
So she was talking about it on the way to school. I'm like, see, they're just a nice little modest pair. I was like, just look, see, it's nothing crazy. Because I want them to see that you can like do something for yourself and be reasonable and open about it. But then of course she's like, oh, good thing nothing wrong. You know, there's a million and one complications. But she tries to live a safe life and I don't. I'm like, well, of course something could go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, so she was doing her research then.
Yeah.
She was using the terms, like she used implants.
Yes.
And then she knows that there's complications to surgery. So she was doing her research.
Of course.
Yeah. She was worried about you, I'm sure. I think there's a big level of the kids being uncomfortable if mom is down. So like you had a recovery time. That's scary for kids.
Yeah. Well, and I thought yours was very sweet too, though, how they were like waiting for you to wake up and know that you're okay. Like they need their moms, not unconscious.
Right. Exactly. When I got home from the surgery, I didn't get home until like my surgery was not first thing in the morning, which sucked. because you have to fast. So
yeah, fasting blows.
Right. So I didn't have my surgery scheduled until noon. And so I didn't get home until 3:30 in the afternoon. And that's when my kids were coming home from school. And that's when I was at my worst.
Yep. Same. I rolled in at like 2.
And so they're like freaked out because you're moving slow.
I know.
I was trying to play cool. You're on pain meds. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I'm like, oh, I got this.
They still know something's wrong.
Die in the corner. I am good. How was school?
Yeah. Can't breathe. Right. It's scary for them. But, you know, sometimes they need to see you vulnerable and they need to see you down and they need to take care of stuff on their own and step up responsibilities. I think that one thing that's good that comes out of when mom is down for whatever reason, like elective surgery or not, even if mom is sick, I think it's good for the kids to kind of walk around and be like, oh, this isn't done. That's not done. Where's this? Where's that? Oh my God. And they actually start to realize what you do.
Maybe. For the short term, then they quickly forget, I think. Although this morning, my team did thank me for driving her, which
was good.
Thoughtful. I tried to drive her last week and thank God I didn't because that would have been a bad idea.
She needed to figure that out on her own.
She was insisting I drive her because she's like, okay, I need a ride. I'm like, no, I told you 2 days ago that I couldn't drive you. And she's like, wait, but you're here. Like, can't you just?
Nope.
I said, no, like I physically and medically cannot drive you.
I was told by my doctor, I cannot drive.
Right. And then she's
pissed off.
She was mad. And I said, maybe you could take a different approach and be like, wow, mom, you know, I'm glad you got that surgery. Thanks for breastfeeding all of us for 29 years. And she says, you won't be surprised by this. Well, it's kind of your problem because you could have bottled it.
Right.
Yeah.
Your choice, mom.
She received a letter about that statement.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
But you know what? I'm just being devil's advocate here.
Do that, Briggs, please.
I'm sorry. because you know what? I feel like all day, every day, I try to dive into the minds of my teens and wonder where they come up with this shit. How can you be so self-centered sometimes and all this stuff? It's so unrelatable. But the thing that I keep coming back to is, they're a kid for a reason. They're not adults. They do not have adult brains. Our teenagers don't know the first fucking thing about breastfeeding. Not a thing.
No.
And they never will.
Until they have their own cracked nipples and where they're helping them.
And where you're putting band-aids on your nipples because they're dripping blood. Even adults don't know what that entails unless you have physically done it.
Well, that's true. And then it's still different for everybody because it really is.
Oh, sure.
Some people just latch that kid right on and no big deal. And other people are, you know.
And it's different for every kid,
too. Oh, my
too.
God. That's the thing you were going to tell me the story of when you went to La Leche.
Oh, my.
That's what you were going to tell
God.
Me the other day. Wait, before you dive into that, though.
Okay.
I have to say that it's.
Thank God you remembered that.
Funny. I know, I'm glad I did, but that's because I had written down here how damn funny it was since we didn't hang out for a week because of our surgeries. How that day I texted you and I was like, I just found Hazel on the damn roof of my neighbor's house. And all you say back to me is, hold on a second, my dryer's on fire. I was just like, what the hell kind of people are we? Can we say this out loud on our podcast to see if we're normal or not? Because I think we're freaks. We shouldn't have six-year-olds on neighbors' roofs and dryers on fire. And if we do, we shouldn't just be like, hold on a second. My kid's about to break every bone in her body and there's a fire in my house. Be right back. You kidding me, Briggs?
And the fact that it's happening like to both of us at the same time, simultaneously, and we're just like, hold on. It's not like, hold on, I have to pee, or hold on, I'm on the phone. Hold on, I'm in the middle of an actual emergency,
right, but the
on
fact,
both ends.
The fact that neither one of us respond with an appropriate level of response is what tells me that maybe like what we're doing here, sharing, is the right thing because we're not normal. Normal people go, holy hell, your kid could fall off the roof, go get her. Or, oh my God, a fire, are you okay? We don't even ask if each other's okay. We just assume we're okay because of fires and falling six-year-olds. This is absurd.
I think after you texted me that, I wasn't even nervous. I was like, okay, well, go get Hazel.
No, right.
And you were like, okay, hopefully, like, the fire's out.
Good luck with your fire. Talk to you later.
Right.
And I don't even check on you. I'm like, I guess the fire's out. I don't care. I didn't even look in your room to see whatever.
It's just a regular Tuesday in our world over here.
But we could come back to that as far as judgment goes, because I could certainly be judged and criticized for being negligent enough for my child to be on the neighbor's roof. But I really want to hear your La Leche story though, because this is a major thing in mommy judgment land.
Yes.
What you do, we start being judged the second that we become pregnant, right?
Oh, absolutely. What you're eating, what you're drinking,
what you're smoking or drinking.
Right. I remember going out for sushi one time when I was pregnant with my first baby.
No. Shame on you.
Well, that's what I had.
I'm going to judge you live on this show. No raw fish, you reckless mother.
Well, that's what I did because that's what I had a craving for. And I went out for sushi.
I ate so much sushi.
And I was like,
it's good.
It was so good. And I just wanted, like, I was so vegetarian when I was pregnant.
I was too.
I did not touch
meat.
But
I dumped it in a second. I was like 7 months and I'm like, bacon now.
Towards the end of my pregnancies, I eased back it. Never chicken, never ground beef. No. But bacon or like a steak.
And veg. Sushi.
And sushi. Fish was always okay for me. But talk about the people that sit in a sushi restaurant and look at you sideways while you're eating sushi while you're 6 months pregnant.
Heaven forbid you have a half glass of wine.
Oh, no. I never drank when I was pregnant.
Oh.
Ever.
No, really?
Not even a sip. Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Wow. Commendable.
All four of my children never drank a sip of alcohol.
Dang. Good for you.
Yeah.
When I was having my third, so that was my first home birth. I started having that like early labor for the first time ever because, you know, whatever, your cervix is like, yeah, we know what to do.
Right, right.
So I would call my midwife and, but this is when I was like, I don't know, like 8.5, 9, like last trimester.
Oh, yeah.
The baby is a baby.
You're like, fuck it, pour me a bourbon. Yeah.
No, she said, if you go into the early labor, get in the bath and have some wine.
Oh.
Because it's a natural relaxant.
Yes.
And then if your contractions continue, then you know it's real. And I was like, oh, okay. So I followed directions and I stopped. My early labor stopped.
Well, shit. I wish I had that midwife.
Well, I know.
But that's something that people would shame you for.
I know.
Drinking alcohol while pregnant. Yes.
Yes.
Even
up
if you're
down. They probably will after this episode comes out. Not only do I have new boobs, also have wine. Also had a home birth. Judge me for that too. But I mean, it goes on and on.
It's never ending. So the La Leche League, now that all you have to do is say the name of that. And we're talking judgment.
You immediately get put into one group. Okay.
Oh, you're in a camp of psycho crunchy bitches.
If you go there, then you must be wearing those Birkenstocks, you crunch.
Right.
Why did we call ourselves crunchy for that? It's disgusting. Like we have... Like we're not showered crunchy? Like
no.
Things are stale?
No, granola.
Is that what it refers to?
Yeah.
It's a disgusting term.
It is gross. I don't like the word crunchy.
No.
That's almost as bad as moist.
Wait, all of the terms are bad for anyone who's mindful or hippie though. Like the woo-woo?
Yeah.
Oh, did you go to woo-woo university to learn about those oils?
Right.
Who did you take to La Leche? Your first?
No. I took my twins.
Okay.
And so at that time when they were newborn, my daughter was 2. I breastfed my first baby. I never once even considered joining the La Leche League. I had no interest in it. I'm like, thanks, I'll breastfeed at home and I don't need to talk about it with other people. Like, and I didn't have any problems breastfeeding her. She was really easy. So it was all good. I didn't feel that I needed support from anybody.
Oh, that's good. You were lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I thought I was... you know, just amazing at breastfeeding.
Well, you were. Yeah. You had good supply and everything.
I had good supply.
Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, all went really well. So I didn't feel that I needed a group of moms to, I guess what I could have done is used my good experience to encourage others. But you know what? At that time I felt like I was just drowning in motherhood, that I just didn't want to be in like the group setting with whatever.
It's a lot. And if you don't need it, it's kind of a hard thing to go to.
Right. I remember being in the hospital after having my first baby and learning how to breastfeed for the first time. And the lactation consultants gave me all this information on La Leche League if I needed support or whatever. I just tossed it away. I didn't.
Now, did you already have an idea then of where you were like, oh, yeah, those crunchy weird. Wait, what do they call them? Nipple Nazis? Is that what they used to call them?
The nipple Nazis. That's exactly what they called them. I mean, yeah, nipple Nazis, breastfeeding Nazis.
Yeah.
Whatever. But again, judgment. Those aren't nice names people. I mean, that want to breastfeed and that want to help others breastfeed. I have to tell you this story about La Leche League, though, because talk about judgment. And I'm totally guilty of being a mom judge
situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm just putting it out there. I had a friend who had she has 6 children now. I believe at that time back then she had 3. She was very much a part of the La Leche League. She did all of her births at home. Her husband worked from home. They shared all parent responsibility. I wasn't in that world. My husband worked.
Crunchy democracy.
Right. So she ran the chapter in our area of the La Leche League. After I had my twins, I was determined to breastfeed them too. I mean, I was kind of we'll just see how it goes, because it kind of sounds like a nightmare having 2 on your each boob holding football style.
Yeah, you have to do the football thing, right? Where the little toes dangle behind you.
Yes. And, you know, let's be honest,
drop that boob right into their
shirt.
Wait till they're crying, right? And you drop that boob in their mouth.
I had
at least wide, big open mouth.
Yeah, I had a special, and I didn't know that they even made this until I had the twins, but they make a special boppy pillow for twins.
Oh, check that out.
It's huge, and it's square, so it's not the U-shaped. Oh, it's
tiny boppy, those little ones, though, they don't do shit.
Yeah, I used one for my first baby, but the twin one was it's big and bulky, but it's enough room to put both kids. And
that's nice. And you can just lay back and take a nap.
Yeah.
Too, right.
Well, you would think, but no,
it
wasn't that relaxing.
Did
breastfeeding
you fall
my twins.
Asleep breastfeeding ever though?
Always.
Yeah. Me too.
Always. Cause
I would wake up and the kid had let go. I'm
right.
Like, oh, there you are.
And your boob is just out.
Hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when I decided to breastfeed my twins, it ended up working out. I had a little bit of trouble in the beginning just because the twins were in the NICU for a couple weeks and I had to pump initially and bring it to the hospital and all this bullshit.
Good for you. That's not easy.
I stuck with it just because I knew that they were born both with respiratory distress. And I felt just in my mind, I was like, they need breast milk. You know, I was breastfeeding the twins. And my friend that was the head of the La Leche League.
I know, it's
I can
so
never
hard to say. The Milky League.
I can never say it.
It's
so bear with me.
It's a tongue twister.
Yes.
The La Leche League.
Yes. It reminds me of the other episode when we kept saying the rap stars, the Lils.
Oh, yeah.
I hate all the L's.
Too many L's. We decided we're not going to do L's anymore.
And I don't like the word leche either. That's gross,
I know,
too.
Why did they decide to make it the Spanish name?
I don't know. Can't we just call it the Milk Club or something?
It is the Milk Club. And why is it a league? You know what? I think because when it was developed, this was still when it was a new thing for women to form their groups. And it lifted up the brand of the people a little bit.
Was it
called a league?
Was it formed in Mexico? Maybe that's why.
No.
It's called
why isn't
La Leche?
I mean, I like when people say Cafe Con Leche. I'm like, oh, you're Cuban and you're cool when you order your coffee.
Yeah.
But why? Can't we just call it the Milk Club?
Right.
Group. The Milkers.
The Milkers.
Whatever.
I like nipple Nazis.
That's so degrading, though.
It is.
Wait, I'm just realizing that I've used to be a nipple Nazi leader, and now I have fake boobs. That's so weird. I am going to be open to a little harsh criticism. Huh?
You went from one spectrum to another, lady.
I still look crunch with a lot. I had to get a pair of boobs, though. I didn't have any.
I know. I get it.
I didn't want to go to my grave with just nipples. God. Okay, so you go there with 3 kids, and your friend is the actual leader.
Yes. She wanted me to come and encourage new moms. They're actually... were a few moms in the group that were pregnant with twins. I believe one had twins already. And they were really, really struggling breastfeeding their twins.
And you were not.
And I was not. So she asked me to join a meeting and just come and try to encourage these mothers, tell them what worked for me, what hasn't worked for me, if I had any tips, or just be there for support. Like,
oh, I like that.
You can do this.
Yeah.
So when she presented it to me like that, I was like, well, sure, absolutely, because this is not easy.
Right. And if you're not struggling with it, then by all means, go and be a support person.
Yes. Because when you're breastfeeding twins, it's not like tandem nursing an older kid and a baby, a newborn. It is, you are trying so hard to get these babies on the same schedule that
I can't, I mean, I'm sure that you have to like be catheterized because how can you even get up to pee?
I can barely
keep up with the demands of one.
Yes.
I mean, I carried one on my breast to the toilet with me.
Right.
Because
I had
they don't ever stop.
No. And with twins, when you're on that, like if you have a toddler, they're obviously not nursing as often as a newborn. So when you have two newborns, it is around the clock. And the chances of them both wanting to eat at the exact same time and the chances of them both latching on at the exact same time are slim to none. So it was really, really hard. I don't think I slept for years.
Well, cheers to you if we had bourbon this morning.
Yeah, which we should, but we don't.
Surgery and bourbon, eh.
I know. Sounds good to me. It's probably better for you than the painkillers. But anyways, I go to this meeting and there is a mom there. Now, she didn't have twins, but she had a newborn who she was breastfeeding and she was homeschooling her 5 or 6 year old. So that child who was in kindergarten was at the meeting too.
Yeah. The Melkers like to homeschool too.
Sure.
Yes.
I
used to live there.
Right. I know you did. The story of this is that I believe the child was 6. I'm just going to say 5 because that makes me feel better about this story. Not even.
Did it walk right up and ask for milkies?
No. Let me just tell you what happened. So the mom is sitting on one of those like exercise bouncy balls, like bouncing up and down, breastfeeding the newborn. You know, my friend asked me to talk and just kind of give my 2 cents about breastfeeding twins and because I was actually still nursing my 2-year-old just at night before bed. So technically, I mean,
you fit right in.
Because
right. You were nursing 3.
So
way to go.
I just put me in a box.
Yeah.
Under the stairs.
Your head with milk.
Yeah. Put me in a box under the stairs like a freaking dog that just had a litter. So, I mean, I felt kind of freakish at this time too. You know, so I thought, well, shit, maybe I do belong to this freaking club. I didn't want to be. I mentally didn't belong to that club, but I'm like, well, whatever. So the woman is asking me a bunch of questions about nursing just this one newborn. And I was talking to her and she's like, you know,
the woman with the 5-year-old was?
Yes.
Okay.
She had the 5-year-old and the newborn.
So yeah.
She's bouncing up and down on the ball, breastfeeding the newborn.
And what did she ask you?
And the 5-year-old is just running around in this person's house, whatever. And while I'm talking to her, she unlatches the newborn and puts the baby in like the infant carrier or something. And while I'm speaking to her, encouraging her. I don't know. I kind of have a little bit of trauma from this, so I'm sorry, but this just goes along with the judgment. The 5-year-old now comes up, lifts up her shirt, and starts nursing. And I thought, okay, she's still nursing her kindergarten boy. I thought it was weird but this is where mom shaming comes in and mom judgment. And we have all done it. We're all guilty of it. That is not something that we see every day in the United States. I'm sorry. We don't always just see publicly somebody nursing a 5-year-old boy.
Like never.
You don't
see
that.
When that's done in the US, it's kept private because it's not accepted.
No. If you're going to go to Kenya, then you might not bat an eye.
Correct.
But that is not something that we see here. In fact, many would argue that there's no nutritional benefit to that whatsoever. In fact, you're probably damaging his emotional well-being, okay?
That would be the basic American stance, probably, yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing is I'm trying so fucking hard not to judge this mom, right? I just thought, I've never seen this before. I've never heard of somebody nursing a 5-year-old boy. I could not imagine this boy going just because she was doing it during the day. I mean, it's a five-year-old. If you were going to nurse...
She had all that new mom milk, too.
Okay. This is the part that put me over the edge. She was asking me and the leader of the club, okay, she was not able to nurse this child when the child was born. Okay.
The baby.
No.
No.
When the five-year-old boy was born, she was not able to nurse the baby.
Okay.
I don't know if there was a medical reason or he didn't latch on or she gave up or I don't know. I don't know. When she had the second baby, she was able to nurse the second baby.
Okay. Dog disclaimer.
Sorry. So when her milk came in, she had... And she was able to nurse this second baby.
Uh-huh.
She, all these 5 years of this older child's life, she had such a tremendous amount of mom guilt.
Oh, fuck that.
For not breastfeeding the first baby. And now it came so easily and naturally to the second baby that she began, Dodson.
Wow.
Began nursing the five-year-old at 5 years old.
Seriously?
The child had never breastfed before. He was bottle fed. And
how did she teach him how to latch on properly?
Thank you. Why do you think I was such a judgmental mom? Okay. That to me is like, so I...
Let's talk about that though in the sense of, okay, well, there's the guilt, which is an overwhelming, like suffocating tarp for every single mom.
It's horrible.
But then there's this idea, I feel like, when you notice a deficit, be it you didn't get breast milk or, I don't know, like, I never validated your emotions or something. I think there's this idea as moms that we can, like, go back and fix, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's even things you can do, like, if your kid had a traumatic birth and you meant to have this peaceful, blissful lavender home birth, you mm-hmm. can go back and, like, spiritually relive this mm-hmm. child's entry into the world. You can go to woo-woo university all day long and do a billion things to make you feel better. That's a thing by itself, right? This thing where we can go back and fix it.
Here's the thing. Tell me if I'm completely way off on this. And I'm sorry. This to me was just completely way off on another planet. I do not feel that this was to benefit the child. This was all about the mom. This was all about her guilt. Tell me that there is one reason why you would start breastfeeding your child at age five.
I don't have one.
It doesn't make any sense.
Unless your child had some sort of like medical need where, I don't know.
But that wasn't her situation though. She sat there at this
meeting. You know what? It would be really interesting to be able to talk with her now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that sometimes we do very crazy things as new moms. Because the guilt is overwhelming unless you make a conscious choice to say, I will no longer be ruled by guilt. It still will try to creep in, but people are consumed by it.
So even if she was feeling guilt herself just because she didn't breastfeed this child and now she is able to breastfeed the second child, and I feel like by what she was saying, I'm not putting words in her mouth, she was at the meeting defending her decision to breastfeed the five-year-old.
Were people criticizing it?
There were people, not so much outwardly, but you could see the judgment on people's faces. Now, mind you, probably mine the most, because there were a lot of, oh, you should breastfeed your 20-year-old son, like for all we care, because that's the group that we're in right now.
Well, because in that group, there's a very strong idea of child-led weaning.
Right.
And in any group, there are going to be extremes for that, right? So if child-led weaning is to say, okay, when you're a toddler, ideally, because on a global health scale, maybe that's why it's called leche, to make it more global.
Maybe.
The idea was that in America, you treat your child as if you were nursing in some tribe the best you can. Mm-hmm. So if you can nurse till three, then like, that's good on a global average, because kids are nursed till they're what, 6 and 7 globally.
Yes.
I forgot what the age is.
It's something
like
that.
We stop really young here.
Right. Yeah, we're different here. For some reason, I think that there's a huge difference between if you were breastfeeding from day one and the kid was still five and has not weaned yet, there would be enough mom shaming in that
in itself, that you're still breastfeeding 5 years later. But to begin, when you have never breastfed before, to begin and teach a five-year-old to breastfeed when at their developmental state, could you imagine explaining the directions on how to breastfeed? Because they're a school-aged child at this point. Like, here's my boo.
I would love to hear her reasoning behind that. I really would, especially now, because she would be reflecting on it.
Her reasoning was guilt.
But I would like to hear her say that and see if as a mom she would say, you know what, I couldn't live with the fact that this kid didn't get milk, so I breastfed my five-year-old. I did.
That's what she said.
But I would like to hear her say it now and see if she acknowledges the guilt. Did she acknowledge it then and say, I feel so bad that he didn't get it?
100%. That's why she was there.
Well, I mean, that was ballsy of her at least to... But that's a hard thing to say. That's hard to say. Hi, I'm putting my five-year-old on my nipple because I feel so bad that he didn't get milk.
That he didn't get breast milk, but my newborn daughter is. And I feel like I was giving my daughter more benefits than I gave to him.
A tough one. The guilt is so bad. But then it almost goes into this like fix-it society that we have, right? Where we fix everything for our kids all the time. We can't just say, that's what you got. You got bottles. Why can't we accept our best and say, you know what? For you, my best was bottles.
And the fact that she tried.
She tried. I'm sure she didn't just sit around and be like, well, it didn't work. Every mom does her best.
Yeah. If you're choosing to make that decision ahead of time, you know, it is not easy at first. It's painful. It hurts. It's extremely frustrating the baby's screaming.
It's
and
really challenging.
Shaking their head back and forth and you're exhausted and whatnot. The biggest argument there was, what benefit does your five-year-old have now breastfeeding? What is benefiting your five-year-old now?
Right.
It's not. In fact, it's probably doing more damage. And I'm not saying that as that's what I think and I believe. I'm saying that's what the vibe was in that meeting. And that was where I feel like that was a solid example of mom shaming and judgment based on a mom's decision of what she wanted to do for her children. You know, if you're going to put a story like that out there that's very, very personal, I think that common sense would... to a human person would know that you are so out of the norm in this, that you, if you're going to put it out there, you should be willing to,
you're going
to
get
accept
it.
That people are going to murder you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because mentally.
Because we're not that gracious to each other.
No.
At all. You know, I think there's this assumption in these groups that are like, you know, peace and love and milk forever, that there's going to be more tolerance and compassion and blanket understanding. And there's not.
Lies.
I remember when I was in there. So another one of the big like things that you follow in the little cult of milk is the co-sleeping, which I am a big, big fan of out of sheer fucking survival.
I was too.
Because I'll be damned if I'm going to get up and go to some other room and sit there in the cold and the dark with my eyes half open, leaking milk all over your face. No.
No thanks.
You will be in my bed, in my armpit, with my boob in your mouth.
Right. And my boob is just hanging here for whenever you need it.
Whenever you may wake up, you may suckle on this.
Yes. While your husband's over in the corner, like, I'll just be over here.
Snorry, snore, snore. Good luck over there with that parenting thing.
Can you be quiet? I have to get up and go to work.
But then it becomes all of these rules, right? Like, I remember there was this one conflict I had where this mom, what was she wanting to say? It was something about co-sleeping, like that you had to. And I was disagreeing and I was saying, hey, it works for me because I am tired.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. If a mom wants to ruin her night and use a crib and get up 9 billion times a night and sit in some dumbass rocking chair,
fine.
That's her choice and freedom. Fine.
It doesn't affect you.
No. So I was, our argument, which was very stupid and idealistic, and I still wish I had this kind of free time, but our argument was on, do you have to follow the rules of co-sleeping, or is the expectation that every mom should do her best to meet the child's needs?
Everybody's situation is different.
Right. So we got an argument about it because I was like, no, you have to meet the kid's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And by all means, I am against like leaving a child to wail in a crib hungry or needing to suck. Mm-hmm. I personally would say no, no. And I feel like every mom does their best to meet their kids' needs. Mm-hmm. And if that mom wants to knock herself out and go to a crib 20 times a night, go the fuck ahead. That's not for me to judge.
Why is it for anybody to say? You're not in their home.
Why do we have time to judge? And why do we spend our energy doing that? To make ourselves feel better for our own, quote, failures? Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yes. I have to say, just about that specific example about the La Leche League, I ran for the fucking hills.
I would have loved to have been at your house when you came home from that and hear all of your like decompressing.
I strapped my three babies in the car seat when I left there, and I was like,
who wants a pacifier? Who wants a lollipop?
I was like, get me the absolute fuck out of here. My friend was like, so how did you find the meeting helpful? I was like, don't you ever ask me to show up to that shit ever again. If somebody wants some advice on breastfeeding, then give me a call. Come to my house, but I am not sitting with these people. I don't care. I don't care what other people do in their homes. I don't care. I cannot sit here and listen to you describing to a five-year-old how to breastfeed for the first time. Go home. Do that shit in your own privacy of your own weird house. See how I'm judging?
Judge over
here. I'm sorry, but that is what people do. That is human nature.
I know. Well, we have to wrap this one up, but yes. I think it's honest and appropriate to say and to own the fact that we do judge. The work is in after, right? Okay, so you immediately judge. That's what our brains do. But then do you have the capacity to move to the next phase and say, okay, this is her story. These are those circumstances. I feel this way, whatever. Because we can't walk around all day long just being like, you're this, you're that, you're that. That's ridiculous, and we'll never build community.
No, but we're also not robots either. And
no.
There are certain things that happen that strike a nerve, and you're like, holy shit, especially when it's that, what's the right word, Dodson?
I don't know what the right word is.
I was going to say abnormal.
Well, for your circumstances,
okay.
Yes.
Outside of the norm.
Which is abnormal.
I know, but
I don't know. We don't speak with that much grace on this show. We got a lot of love, but we don't have to watch our manners. That's not what we do. Okay, give me your win so we can wrap up this. We're going to come back. I want to come back to mom judge and shaming in a month or so.
We have to, because
I think it should be regularly revisited. Plus, it'd be interesting to hear if anyone wants to give me shit over my freshy boobs.
Well, you know what? If anybody gives you shit over your freshy boobs, it's because they want your freshy boobs.
Because they're jealous. Because look at these. I mean, this is a nice pair of boobs.
They're amazing.
I'm gonna talk positively about my own boobs.
And that's your win. And you know what?
That's my win, my freshies.
They look so natural, too.
Don't they? They haven't even completely fallen yet, and they're already like not in my chin.
No, they look very natural. It's not like you could sit your whiskey glass up on it.
No, thank God.
You know,
that would be too much.
No, you're too tiny to do that. No, they look natural. Hopefully you feel good about it, and there is no shame in repairing your body after giving it all to your children for so many years.
I've wanted them forever. I'm not ashamed of them.
Good.
So what's your win?
My win is that I am recovering nicely from my hernia surgery. I am in less pain. I did have a mesh put in this time. So
well, you did?
Yes. I did not have a mesh put in the first time. So they put the mesh in hopes that it will not come back again.
Good. And maybe you could not move furniture and heavy rugs while healing, Briggs.
I know.
Judging.
It would be
hard.
You should. Just put me in my place for that. It's just pure stupidity.
Penalty box for you.
Absolutely.
You still have a win though. So if we were drinking bourbon, we would cheers. So cheers, Briggs.
Cheers, cheers. I think that we need to revisit mom shaming because
we will. We'll come back.
Yeah. This is a topic that so many can relate to. So
be right back on this one.
All right.
Okay, till then.
Take care.